Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Not on that, watching that right now as we do the show.
Right.
Newton, Beckham, Todd Gurley, and Victor Cruz. Hanging out. A different sort of form of random names like the game we were just playing.
Right. That's that was a pretty wide-ranging conversation from what I've seen. I've not watched it, but I've read some clips and seen some clips, that one included. But doesn't Beckham say, like, I don't know if I'm playing or something to that effect? Or maybe I don't know if any of us are playing, kind of. That's the vibe.
Yeah, that's what Beckham said. And Newton had a lot of other things to say about New England. So, yeah, it was good. It's very reminiscent or reminds me of what LeBron does with HBO, where he just gets a bunch of athletes together and they just sit around and talk. And it's much more open than a general media interview.
Yeah.
So Joe had another update there on crowds. And that was New England today announcing limitations to crowds at their games if they are allowed to have crowds at all. Are we done with the Sabres from 2014? I never even mentioned my guy, but I do want to bring this other thing up. Talk about it for a little bit.
I'm going to need closure on.
We didn't name the one guy.
The number four guy, yeah. The from Carolina guy. We never did say that, right?
No idea.
I'm saying that as a person who yesterday forgot that you mentioned O.J. Simpson 8 seconds after you mentioned O.J. Simpson. So I'm just trying to make sure.
I said yesterday people can fly. But what I hear from every commercial is we're all supposed to forgive ourselves. Every commercial tells us, forgive yourself because we're all going through a lot. And by the way, our company really cares about you and is hopeful for you.
Right. So use bounty. I all right, yeah. I'm sorry. That was almost that could have been a moment that broke me. I might have just kept laughing and then I would have gotten fired.
Mark Howe. is that right?
That is not right.
I don't know.
He was a training camp invite, actually, I'm reading here. It's Jamie McBain is the player.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez. Sure. Okay, sure. Yep.
Jamie McBain. How about that guy that they traded or let, Jamie McGinn?
Right, he was part of the Ryan O'Reilly trade. Yeah.
How about Chris Stewart?
5 games.
Let's go.
Oh, wow.
Is that Minnesota, too?
I think he's traded to Minnesota the next year in the
it's Blues
tank year. Yeah, the Blues.
Stewart
he's part
is Miller.
Of the O'Reilly trade. Or the
Miller.
The Miller trade. Yeah.
Miller and Ott, yeah.
Yep.
Or, yeah. All right. Somebody on Twitter corrected me, us, I guess, about Torrey Mitchell. That's not Pominville. That's Molson. And I completely forgot that Molson was here, got traded away, and then re-signed as a free agent that summer. That happened. So Molson came, went, and came back.
So it was a whirlwind, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The decade.
No. All right, yeah, we can be done. I don't know how many guys we left
The guy
off,
whose but... name I saw on Twitter that made me a little bit sick to think about is Frolik.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did Chad at Expected Buffalo write about Frolik? Somewhere I saw a thing about Frolik.
Well, no, he was offered a contract in some league.
That's what it was.
In the KHL, yeah.
KHL, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, how did that ever happen?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that and went, oh, yeah, he was on the team. I remember that.
Yeah, or even is
Well, sure, like, technically. I mean, he's going to be a UFA.
He's not coming back? I assumed that wrongly about Sobotka the one time last year.
He did have a contract, though, Sobotka did.
So. Yeah, Frolik does not. They have to actively decide that they would want to keep him, which I, you know, I don't want to rule anything out, but that doesn't seem like a real good idea.
You guys nailed most of this list, by the way.
Good.
Last stragglers, Patrick Kaleta played 5 games. Chad Ruedel, Kevin Porter, John Scott, Nick DeLaurier, Luke Adam, Phil Veroni.
Luke Adam.
I want to hear that graduation music under these names, like
Cody
that pomp and circumstance.
Matt Ellis and Mark Pesek.
How could I forget him?
Marcus Foligno. And did we get Tyler Ennis? Because
nope.
That's the only other one.
No, we didn't. No.
I didn't think of Tyler Ennis. He probably was their leading scorer.
He was second. Most goals, though.
And so also, we didn't mention Miro. We didn't mention Miro.
No Miro Chapin.
Either. Quickly, this was a topic I was thinking a lot about last week and talking some about. The choice that a fan makes between going to the stadium for a crowd that's between 15 and 20,000 people all spaced out wearing masks, mm-hmm. and not going at all. Like, how much are you losing with the fact that there's such a limit on attendance? I think a lot. Mm-hmm. It's the preseason or worse.
Oh, yeah, it's way worse, I think.
You know? And the game isn't the preseason. The game could be super important. But would you want to go to it if you knew the rules, if these were the rules? Would you want to go?
I think almost definitely not. I mean, you know, there is, you know, the there are things to like about watching the game from the stadium, depending on your vantage point, that you get there that you just aren't going to get on TV if you like watching, you know, what the way the coverage is rolling towards one side or the other, like who's singled up, who's double, you know, that sort of stuff. You don't always, sometimes you'll get that on TV via replays, but like, you know, live action, you can discern that watching, and you know, that can be kind of fun. Like I think we both do some of that when we're sitting there where we're watching from, you know, near the corner of the end zone at the tunnel end. But I think you'd have to really be a spectacularly just really into watching football live to want to be there in that sparse crowd. And even then, I think, like, if someone like, well, I don't go for the party. Like, if there's a fan out there that has objected every time someone like me or you has said, like, people go for the scene, they go for the party, they go for the tailgate, they go for the, and if that person is sitting listening to us all these years say that, going, you know, I'm the one who's there for the game. I think even that fan goes to a game with 20,000 people or less and is sitting there and just goes, man, this is lame. I don't know. This is just, I don't know. There's something about being in a crowd that is so small in a venue that's so large that just feels utterly and completely depressing to me. And maybe it's because of concerts, like going to see bands that I really love and only seeing, you know, 100 people in a 500-person venue and being depressed for them because I know they traveled from wherever, you know, Michigan or wherever they drove all night to play this place. And, like, nobody's here, man. This sucks. Or even, like, a larger scale. Like, I've been to concerts. I remember going to see Nine Inch Nails at the arena, and the entire upper level of the arena, the 300s, was empty. And I just thought, this is so sad. Like, this is a really big, important show, and there's nobody here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sitting in a stadium like that would be really tough. I mean, it would be, and it's just such a jarring notion. Like, we're used to going to, say, like, you know, minor league baseball games and having it be like that, and that's a whole different thing, you know? Bills games are not made for that. So, I don't know. I'm definitely, I don't have season's tickets, but if I did, and they were calling me to offer me options, I would definitely volunteer to opt out. I'd be like, fine, I don't lose my seniority, I don't lose my place in line, I don't lose my seats, fine, I'll see you in 2021. you know, I may or may not, depending on my financial situation, want some money or just keep it, roll it over for next year, if you've already got any of it, that is. I would definitely opt out if given the choice.
Yeah, in the 70s and 80s, there were plenty of smaller crowds, and the stadium was even technically bigger. But yeah, in those days, you did not have the option of sitting at home and watching every other game happen at the same time, or right, going out and doing that. And there will be going out. There already is.
Yeah.
So it would be a pretty easy choice for me. I do think there will be something kind of like historic, if you will, about it. You know, if you have a streak going of going to games, these are games. And yep, so maybe you'd want to keep doing that. But there is so much that maybe you just take for granted or never think about that is the atmosphere. And that's not just drinking, and that's not just the tailgate. You know, it's just like talking about the game with the people around you, like I and so many fans have enjoyed doing when the team is good. When the team isn't as good, that's not as great of a conversation, it seems. But in the 90s, that was like awesome, just connecting. Like at Sabres games, when the Sabres are good, same thing. You mm-hmm. connect with those people and, you know, share in it.
And yeah, there's an energy there that yes, is just not going to be there. And, like, I think that's going to be really, really hard to take, I think.
Imagine people all spaced out and there's a play and you just go, hey, what did you think of that pass? Like, you just sort of yell it out to the next section. Right. Hoping to get some sort of a conversation going. Right. That doesn't sound that great. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Players and the owners are really in the midst of an important negotiation, about as important of a negotiation they've had in quite some time. So I think that ultimately we don't play any preseason games. I think that preseason will look, I don't want to say mysterious, but I think the coverage during the month of August will be very, very different. I mean, you guys know what it looks like. People are covering every beat of every training camp practice during the month of August under normal circumstances. I don't know that's going to be the case this year. I think we might be looking at coverage that feels almost more like Super Bowl week. You'll have pool reports. You'll have small updates here or there, but it will not be anything close to what we're accustomed to.
Field Yates, One Bills Live. I have mixed feelings about that. I assume it's probably going to be right. On one hand, I'll miss that news stream, you know, little things of happening in camps that get made into big stories because it's material and I play a lot of fantasy and I like all that. I like the movement of it. But on the other hand, most of it is pretty much meaningless. So I won't miss it at the same time. I mean, it's just like,
right,
I don't need to know all these, how many passes Josh Allen is completing at training camp.
Right.
Like, how in the world does that matter? You know, like, just how does that matter? But it's fuel, so yep, we cover it and we report it, yep, and everybody else does too, because you can't not do it.
Right. Yeah, and then you walk outside to start your grill, and your neighbor says, sounds like Alan had a pretty good day today.
Yes.
Like, he sure did.
Okay.
What do you think? I don't know. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. Good for him.
Right.
So we'll see. I assume, again, Field Yates is probably right about that. We're going to talk about Washington and the name change with Craig Hoffman. Just, Joe, Washington in fantasy, does anything interest you?
Not. Well, I like Terry McLaurin a lot in dynasty leagues. Like, a lot of, like, PFF loves him. A lot of the guy, like, Greg Cosell, I've heard on him, like, loves him. So I think he might be a really good player. So if I'm looking long term, I might want to take a stab at that. But for this year, not really. Like, he would be the only guy I might think is startable to start the season. The running backs, you just have no idea who's going to start to me.
Yes, but I'm not afraid of Geis, because if he is healthy, he's dynamite. And maybe they don't have the quarterback good enough to help him, you know, get off. But I want to think that there is, like, some potential for him. And I do like the rookie Antonio Gibson a little bit as sort of a gadgety player.
Yeah.
How many serious – Geis has had two?
Two. He missed a whole year with a preseason injury in New England. And the next year he got – maybe in the opener he got hurt. And so he barely played. He's barely played in 2 years.
Right.
And Peterson is still there.
Right. And he's talking about playing until he's – like, he wants to track down Emmett. Is that happening?
Ooh. Really?
Yeah, he's talking about
it. How far away?
The last time I looked it up, he was not all that close.
Yeah, I think it's a big. I think he was talking about playing until he's 40 to try to.
He is at 14,216. Emmett is at 18,355. So he needs 4,000 plus yards.
Come on.
He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season in...
It's not happening.
Well, actually, no. If you look at his last couple years, I mean, he would have to play five more years, but he had 900 yards last year. He had 1,042 the year before.
Yeah.
But is he doing that till 39? Because that's what he's going to have to do, and that's not happening, I don't think.
Frank Gore, though.
Bryce Love. Not. Bryce Love hanging around. I've taken a couple flyers on him.
Bryce Love. Yeah, okay.
I don't know who that is.
Washington. I mean, there's just... They lost Kelvin Harmon today to an ACL injury. One guy down on the depth chart that is injured. Yeah. Steven Sims is popular in the industry late in drafts, like late round pick, wide receiver. All right, more on that team with Craig Hoffman. And how did this name change just get finalized? How did it happen? A lot of good stuff from him. That's next here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.